I'm going to put a special note to the public. Due to recommendations to limit gatherings to no more than 10 people in order to help slow the spread of COVID-19 virus, public access to the meeting will be provided via conference call to listen to the meeting. For people who wish to call in, know too that we're doing this completely by phone. All members are currently on the phone. For those of the members of the public who would like to call in, they may dial 918-221-0224 and enter number 2225929465 pound when prompted. And please, if you call in, to please mute your phone. Okay? So, first thing what I'd like to do is, I'd like to, since we're all going to be on the phone now, and we're going to have to get used to doing this, the first thing I want to do is I want to take a roll call of everyone who's present, and then when we vote on something, I'm going to call the members of the Board of Health to hear their vote. Okay, so I'll call for Louisa, and then Molly, and then Mark. Okay? All right, so first of all, to start, who's here? John Passion.
Louisa Tabatabai.
Molly Lee. Just.
Go ahead.
Mark Speck. Here.
John Kluge here.
Very good. And is there anyone else on the line that would like to identify themselves?
Linda Merkin.
Okay, Ethan Anderson.
Keith Moore, Terry Potter.
Seattle Department of Public Health.
And I'm sorry, Carrie who?
Jody Stumble.
Terry Potter from Amos.
Oh, very good.
Okay. Jody Stumbo from the Emergency Residence Project.
Okay.
Leanne Carter from Story County.
Les White and Teresa Ferrari from Story County Public Health.
Denise Denton, YSS.
Margaret James, Environmental Health.
And Heather Bombay, are you here?
Yes, Heather Bombay with the Iowa Department of Public Health.
Very good. Okay. Great. Anyone else? Okay, very good. Sounds like we have actually a good attendance. We should keep doing this. Okay, so first of all, we have to approve the agenda. There are two items that have been added onto the agenda after it had been posted. And the reason that these were added is because of the time-sensitive nature to this concerning COVID-19. These two items are a Story County Declaration of Public Health Emergency, as well as a non-congregate sheltering delegation of authority. Okay, so those are two additions to the agenda that have been added since posting. Are there any, so we need a motion to approve the agenda as it stands. Can
Mark,
I have a
so moved.
Okay, can I have a second?
Second.
Okay, so all those in favor, Louisa?
Aye.
Molly?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Mark?
Aye.
And John Passion, aye. The agenda is approved. Okay, now we move on to the approval of the minutes. We have four different sets of minutes from our previous meetings, our kind of not impromptu meetings, but relatively rapid meetings that we've had due to COVID. The minutes have been sent to all of you.
Does anyone have any corrections, additions, or questions on these minutes? I would like to ask for a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
So moved, Louisa.
Okay, so John Kluge will move and Louisa will second. All those in favor, Louisa, say aye.
Aye.
Molly?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Mark?
Aye.
And John Passion, aye. So the minutes are approved. Okay, so public forum, this is time for members of the public to offer comments concerning matters not scheduled to be heard before the Board of Health. Does anyone wish to offer comments?
This is Terry Potter from Amos, and this is more a question of procedure. So what happens if we have something that we wanted to comment on that's already on the agenda for today? How do we...
That's actually a very good question. If it's already on the agenda during the discussion, that would be the best time for you to comment.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Great.
Hi. This is... Sorry?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. This is Vanessa Burnett. I'm in Ames. I have a quick overview question, and then I have a couple of general questions, which we don't have to get answers for. Anyway, my general thing is, on the board's website, it is difficult to assess how to contact the board. There's been a meeting frequency change due to COVID-19, but that's not on the website, so that might be helpful. And there's nothing about an activation level for COVID-19, and it's confusing about how to submit to the agenda. So those are general board things. And then I have... Some of the things you're going to be discussing today are questions I have things about for sure. I'd like to see some of that. And this has been updated since I made my notes. I do have a lot of questions about how we will be handling in the county cascading effects, and if we have a plan to separate people into five different groups according to their infection. So the five groups would be like, if they're infected, if they're presumed infected due to symptoms that haven't tested positive, if they're exposed but not yet infected, if they have developed infection rates or infection but are not known to be exposed, and if they are recovered and may have some immunity. I don't know if those things will be covered in the surge capacity things that we're discussing today, so that's one of my questions. And is there a testing plan for the county? That's another question.
I didn't hear that last one. Is there a what?
Is there a testing, does the county have a plan to improve testing rates? And does the county have a plan to significantly increase the PPE and the supplies and equipment that we will need for first responders and medical personnel? And like I said, those things that need to be addressed today. And then I have two more. One is there a plan to do an expanded capacity? I understand that the EOCs are stood up in several locations, but is there an expanded plan to expand a joint information system or a joint information center to help with getting communication information out to mitigate some of the impacts on first responders, like how to call 911, some of the coordinated messaging between all of the different organizations within the county. Okay, that's enough questions. I'll just leave it there.
No, actually, those are actually very good questions. I think that most of those will be, I think the best time to discuss that is when the Department of Public Health talks about where we're at with the COVID-19 issue. The other issue of how to get on our website and put things onto the agenda, Stephanie, can you answer those two questions?
Yes, I can. So the easiest way would be probably for you to give me your contact information, and then I can send you an email Or you can call me on the phone. Either way.
We don't need to spend funds on that. It's just that it's not clear on the website how to do that.
Right. I understand what you're saying. You just want not just for you to put something on the agenda, but you want to know if someone else wants to also.
Yes.
Right.
If you'd like to stay on until after the meeting, we can exchange contact information.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you very much. Anyone else on the line that wishes to talk about anything that's not on the agenda? Okay, so we'll move on. Consent agenda, it doesn't look like we have anything on the consent agenda, so we'll move on. Discussion and consideration of issuing a press release to the citizens of Story County regarding keeping COVID-19 positive cases low. This was something that we had Molly Lee work on, and she sent a copy to all of us. And it was going to be put in as a press release, and I would like people to tell us what they think about it.
Okay, I'll start then. It's a very well written press release, and to the point, my suggestion would be to add links of the websites that are mentioned in the press release and others that Governor Reynolds has suggested.
Okay. So not only put the fact that they should access the CDC and IDPH website, but actually put the links on it.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, anyone else have any suggestions?
Looks good, thank you, Molly.
Yeah. This is John Ashton. I thought it looked very good also. I particularly like the last sentence, to keep up the good work. Basically, this should be a press release to encourage people to keep doing what they're doing. We haven't seen a lot of this yet, but we will see it.
Yeah, I thought, sorry.
Go ahead.
This is Lisa. I thought it was well written. There wasn't anything that was stated in there.
Okay. All right.
This is Mark, and as well, I think it was very well done. And Molly, thank you for taking your time to do this.
Okay. So, If no one has any objections, I think our next step would be a motion to approve and to be sent it and to have it sent off to the Ames Tribune as a press release.
One question I have, which I commented in the draft that was submitted, and so I don't know if this would be a good question for Lisa or Stephanie to answer, but I was not sure who an appropriate contact for the press release would be.
I would think it would probably be somebody from the Board of Health, since it's coming from the Board of Health. And mainly the contact is going to be, that would be just my assumption. I don't know if maybe Les wants to enter into that, as the incident commander of IDPH, or if Ethan has a thought on that. Obviously, I know Ethan's on the line.
This is Les, and I am trying to be that contact as the director of Story County Public Health, and I would be available. I mean, if people have questions or whatever regarding it, I am available here in the office.
Yeah. And that's fine. This is Lisa again. When you submitted those to the paper in the press release, I'm not sure if it's wanting just who is submitting, the contact information of who is submitting that, so that they can contact you to make sure that it's actually you who submitted it. That would be kind of the question. So maybe it might be two different people. You know, yes, I'm the one who's submitting it, and this is my contact information, but for other specific, you want to contact public health, although that is referenced in the letter to contact public health.
Yeah, this is Mark. I would think it should be coming from the Story County Board of Health.
Right. This is John Paxson. I do know how the paper wants a direct contact with who's submitting it. We can put down, they can do questions, but they want, and the Ames Tribune just really wants, you can put like four or five people's names on it, but they want the person who's submitting it. As chairman of the Board of Health, I can do that.
Yeah, I think it would be nice.
This is Louisa. I agree, John. That would be good.
Okay. And so the question that I have is should this be submitted as a guest editorial? I mean, it seemed long enough to me.
This is Stephanie. Leanne Carter, who is our outreach coordinator for the county, she would actually be the one submitting it. And she also wanted me to let you know that her contact information that I'll be going out to is larger than only the Ames Tribune. Leanne's on the line, I think. She might be able to clarify that a little better.
Yeah, I'm here. I have about 20-something individuals within the media to whom I send all the press releases out, privileged press releases out. On the contact information, I would include whomever the board decides today and then email that out shortly after it's approved.
And
thank you for clarifying that.
This is Stephanie. And the other thing to keep in mind is we kind of had talked about this at the last meeting, but since we don't really have a budget to pay to put an ad in the paper, this is kind of our only option is by doing the press release so it can be free if we choose to publish it.
Okay. So Leanne, you're going to, once, if we approve this, then you will send this out to your 20 contacts, and then you're going to need a contact person, or how will it put down, who will it come from? Story County Board of Health?
I would assume Stephanie would be the one to get me the final copy, and whatever letterhead is on, I will PDF that and send that to my contact list. The contact information I was discussed is what's highlighted down below. If individuals have questions on the press release, they'll contact that individual and not me. And they know to expect that when I send these out. It's not unusual for me to send it for other departments.
Okay.
And the other thing that I can add is it might be better to have me listed, my number through Environmental Health. Otherwise, somebody might be getting a lot of phone calls, and we normally do not publish any of your contact information. They go through me, and then I forward messages to you.
Okay. So I think I understand how this works. So the way we're talking, again, this is John Paxson. The way we're talking is we're going to approve that press release, and it will be signed by John Paxson, chairman of the Story County Board of Health, and would we also list the other members of the Story County Board of Health, or would it just be my name on it?
I think it could be either way.
Okay. Sometimes, not that I want this, but sometimes it's better just to have one person that people can put their questions to rather than a list of four. So I would move that would be my name.
I second that move.
Okay.
Louisa.
Okay. So any further discussion?
One question, this is Louisa. Did you agree, did the board agree then to add the link to the websites that are mentioned?
We'll do that with our motion. We'll do that with our motion.
Okay. Yes, that's the best way to do it with the motion. So if I could please have a motion to approve the press release.
I move that we do the press release and include the web links along with that.
And have John Passion's name as chairman of the Story County Board of Health be put as the contact.
Yep, that's right.
Okay.
And do you want Environmental Health's phone number so that any comments or questions will come through me and I'll forward them to the Board of Health?
Yes. Yes.
Yep, that'd be good.
Okay. All right. All those in favor or any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor? Louisa?
Aye.
Molly?
Aye.
John Kluge?
Aye.
Mark?
Aye.
John Passion? Aye. And when this is put out, I would appreciate, since you do need a physician on this Board of Health, that you put Dr. John Passion. Okay. All right. And let's move on. Discussion and consideration of recommendation to Governor Reynolds to issue a shelter-in-place order. For some background, these are something that we have kind of talked about, kind of at the end of meetings and not really discussed it. So this meeting is to discuss whether or not the Board of Health should recommend to the Board of Supervisors that they put out a recommendation to Governor Reynolds that she issue a shelter-in-place order for the state. So that's the introduction.
Okay. All right. Shall I go ahead then?
Please.
Lisa? Yes. So I recommend that we discuss the shelter-in-place recommendation to the Board of Health and to the Governor. And the reason for it is that we emphasize to Iowans the gravity of the COVID-19 pandemic. Even though, you know, yesterday, you know, the Governor announced additional restrictions for business parks, entertainment, etc. That's very helpful. Even though also the governor has asked for police enforcement for those violating the original and additional regulation. And by the way, this also addresses questions posed by Molly, what the additional would be, as the governor covered all of those yesterday. And even though the metrics from the University of Washington in Seattle has now come forward with a greatly improved metric for the pandemic in Iowa, and that was posted by KCCI on their website. The overall outlook for Iowa is much better, but still not good. And the reasons for those are several. My concern is that the largest group currently infected with COVID-19 are in the 18 to 40 group. I have been charting all those data. And according to the graphs I have prepared, it doesn't look very good. The risk of a worst-case scenario should not be overlooked, is my opinion. And that's a quote by Peter Navarro on January 28 during one of the press conferences that the president held. A new metric was recently published by the New York Times, and it's called New Times. Colon, does my county have an epidemic? Estimates show hidden transmission. That's the title of the article. It's authored by James Glantz, Matthew Block, and Jolly Sandy on April 3rd, 2020. And there is a website that goes with that. The interesting thing in this metric, it shows what they have modeled is no cases in a county versus probability of community transmission. If there are zero cases, then it's 9%. One case in a county is 51% community transmission, 270% transmission, 3 known cases, 79%, 4 known cases, 84%, 5 known cases in a county, 95%. And on it goes to, if there are 43 or more cases, it's 100% community transmission. That is pretty serious information. Another point is the infection rates in Iowa have increased from 7.38% on April 3, when I first started calculating that, to 8.15% on April 6, to 8.23% today, April 7. I have also plotted the infection data in Excel, number of cases versus number of days since March 7, which is day 0. March 8 is day 1. This curve shows no sign of slowing down. I have also calculated the data to find the inflection point that Dr. Fauci referred to in one of the press conferences held at the White House. The second derivative of the curve indicates the point where cases start to diminish, and it shows in the plot as a very specific peak, even on the date when that starts to decrease. In the data that I have plotted for Iowa, there is no sign yet of any inflection point. So we continue to get increasing cases, and that really worries me, that we have to take this whole situation much more serious, even though the governor has put in place all these regulations and additional ones. I think if we say shelter in place, that will be a real serious type of directive that can then also be followed up by enforcement. And therefore, I suggest that the board recommends a shelter in place directive. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Well, Louisa, this is John Passion. Thank you very much for that information. Out of curiosity, and I don't know if anyone knows this answer, if the governor does put in a shelter-in-place order, what is that great of a difference than what is in place now? I mean, does that mean like, I don't know.
Yeah, and this is Louisa. In my opinion, it would. I think the governor has not done that, as she mentioned herself, so as not to scare people. But it can be put in place, which automatically would be enforceable, plus certain exclusions can be added. Which other states have done. For example, the planting season comes around. There can be, you know, exceptions made for that. And as a matter of fact, I've been listening to FarmDoc Illinois.edu. They have webinars twice a week that I listen to about the agricultural situation. so far, so good, but it's not going to last, that's great. But apparently, exclusions can be made for that type of activity. And there may be others as well.
So your point is that a shelter-in-place order will alert any Iowans who don't feel this way. This is serious stuff we're dealing with.
Exactly.
Okay. Anyone else want to chime in on this issue?
This is Mark. You know, I'm saying 2020, but it seems that, you know, Johnson County and Linn County and Polk County, I'm surprised with the high many cases they had there in those counties that she didn't put a shelter in place a couple of weeks ago on those three counties, because those seem to be the most prevalent where all the cases and deaths are occurring.
Mark, and the reason is she has divided the state into six regions, and I have no idea what metric they are using, but so far the regions, the numbers that were assigned to the regions were ranged from five to seven. She said, the governor said she would order shelter in place if it reached a number of 10. But I have no idea how they look at it. But the problem is, then we're behind the curve rather than in front of the curve.
And today, in the press conference, the governor said both of those regions that contained Linn County and the one that contained Johnson County were not Ward 9.
Really?
They were at the level of 9? Yeah.
Yeah. Both of the, I don't know what the number, the region numbers are, but it's the two that are north and south, you know, Cedar Rapids and Iowa City.
Yes.
Right. Those two regions.
So when it reaches, this is Louise, so when it reaches 10, then she will order a shelter in place. But we already have reached 100% community transmission. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So this is Lisa. Just, I believe from the governor's, you know, what she's done so far. One of the things is that her existing orders, if you violate her, any of her existing orders, can lead to a simple misdemeanor, which carry a fine up to $625 and up to 30 days in jail, if I recall correctly.
This is Ethan. That is correct, Lisa. That was under the Proclamation Disaster Emergency Governance issue. So the authority for that is under Iowa Code 135.38. It's a simple misdemeanor to violate an order.
But what would it be if she ordered a shelter in place?
So John Kluge, your question for Ethan is, if she issues a shelter in place order, does our do the fines go up?
Yeah.
Do we know that?
No, I don't believe so. The section just says that it's
excuse me. I'm sorry, this is Lisa. There some background with somebody. Are you talking? And I can't hear very well. Could you just do a reminder asking people to mute their phones if they're not talking?
Okay, there you go. And I will reiterate that if you are not on the line, could you please mute your phone? Thank you.
So, Lisa, this is Ethan. I was saying that you are correct that the governor's proclamation of disaster emergency under that 29C.6 and 135.140 in conjunction with Iowa Department of Public Health, barring the restaurants and bars and fitness centers. That's enforceable under 135. And 135.38 makes that crime a simple misdemeanor. And then John Kluge asked if there was increased penalties for violating a shelter in place. And my position at this time is that no, that would also still be a simple misdemeanor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just Louisa, would that be enough of a, well, not punishment, I can't think of the right word.
Deterrent.
Deterrent, correct.
I suppose whether or not it's enough of a deterrent, it's the only one we have. It's the only thing we're authorized by law to enforce.
Okay.
So unfortunately, I guess the question, the answer is the question. That's all we have to do.
Right. So this is John Passion. So my question is, and this is for Lisa, is it appropriate that if we decide to ask, so would this request to the governor come from the Board of Supervisors? If, you know, you'd have to decide on that at the Board of Supervisors, but if we in the Board of Health made that recommendation, then and it would come not from us, but from the Board of Supervisors. Is that correct if you decide to do that?
That would be my understanding.
Yeah, that's what I understood, too.
Good,
yeah.
Okay. So that's because we are only an advice and consent board.
Correct.
I always like to, which I always like to fall back on, by the way. okay, so any further discussion? I think a lot of good things have been brought up here.
I would suggest we do that. It appears to me we're at that point, and it's a lot easier to put exemptions in for agriculture when needed than it is to go one at a time to add things into where we are now and not know what you missed. And everybody knows where they're at if it's blanket, with except for the exception.
So, John, this is John Kluge. This is Lisa. So, your comment that you just made, are you saying that you'd want to issue a shelter in place or recommend that to the Board of Supervisors with some parameters?
I wasn't clear
from what your comment was.
Well, yes, I would say she should issue a shelter, statewide shelter in place, and then as need arises with planting season and what have you, she could issue exceptions to get the crops in the field and what have you.
This is John Passion. I do not think that if we decide to make this recommendation to the Board of Supervisors, I don't think we should get into the weeds of putting in exceptions. I think that is one of the things that our leadership needs to do.
Correct.
Yes, but it could be stated in such a way if exceptions need to be added, that can be done at that time, right? It can be done at a later time, but to leave it open that exemptions could be added.
Right.
Well, this is Lisa. I mean, the Attorney General, I'm just trying to take clarification from the comments here. So the Attorney General came out and said the only one who can issue a shelter in place is the governor. So I'm not sure by the comments of having some parameters that there is any ability locally wise to do that. I mean, from what I get it, and I guess Ethan would probably have to enter in this as well, is that if the governor would do a shelter in place, she would do it, and she's got the authority to do it. We don't have any authority of what she does.
Lisa.
That's how she does it.
Lisa, thank you. This is John Patchen. I think what really the Board of Health, what this, if we approve this, this will be for the Board of Supervisors to recommend to the governor that she instill a shelter-in-place order.
Got you. Thank you.
Because we cannot, and we understand that.
Right.
Right.
This is Linda Murphy. Could I ask a question of Ethan?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, my question is I'm hearing, and this is the first time I've heard this, that the Board of Health, the recommended action is to go to the Board of Supervisors to ask that we forward to the governor rather than the Board of Health themselves on its own authority to the governor?
That's my understanding of the motion and
okay,
where the action is going.
Of how that should go.
Yeah, I agree that it, the Board of Health should recommend that the Board of Supervisors, either through resolution or motion, require the governor. Again, it's just
a request
to the governor to put this in place. I don't think.
Just want
to
clarify. Thank you.
Yeah, it's her discretion completely.
Okay, so going through the Board of Supervisors was my question. So thank you for that answer. I'll get my phone again.
Yeah, just slowly. So doesn't Ethan, I think he outlined once what the duties were, correct, of the Board of Health, or someone did, what we could do and could not do. So I was under the impression we could make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors, who would then make a recommendation or request to the governor.
That's correct.
Okay. Great. Okay, so any further discussion?
So this is Mark. So this would be about any exceptions then?
We're not, Mark, this is John Passion. I don't think we need to get into the weeds for exceptions.
Right. That's why I want to make sure I'm clear.
Okay. So if there's no further discussion, I would like a call for a motion to request of the Board of Supervisors that they request to Governor Reynolds that they issue a shelter-in-place order.
I so move.
Okay, Lisa moved, and Molly?
Yep.
She seconded. Okay, any further discussion? Okay, and so we'll take our vote. Louisa?
Aye.
Molly?
Aye.
John Kluge?
Aye.
Mark?
Aye.
John Passion? Aye. Okay, motion passes, and so Lisa and Linda, it's now in your hands. Okay, moving on to the next. Discussion and consideration of revisions to public health COVID-19 medical surge plan. Les White.
This is Les White. I'm the director of Story County Public Health. I just wanted to share with you today on the Story County Public Health Surge Plan. This was written with the help of Keith Morgan. And as you go through, one of the sections is highlighted in yellow, I believe, if you could print it or if you see it on your screen. And what I'd like to take a look at is it's under phase one, number 12. We did have a discussion today that I will share with you in relationship to the homeless up here in Story County. So you look at number 12, the section I'd like to remove is it says, or quarantine with housing to be coordinated by the Board of Health. I would like that to be crossed out. And then it talks about the appropriate jurisdiction. We're going to put should in there rather than shall. So those are a couple of changes. Like I said, this is a draft. This is our first attempt at putting something like this for your comments.
Okay, let's just leave it. Could you say those changes again? They're looking at page 5.
Yes,
can you restate what you just said?
I sure will. It's actually highlighted in bold in parentheses. I want to eliminate the part that says or quarantine with housing to be coordinated by the Board of Health. And then I'd like to change and the appropriate jurisdiction should rather than shall.
Can you explain why you want those changes?
Yeah, I can do that. This will lead me into a discussion related to positive individuals that have no homes to return to. Today we had a conversation right before the Board of Health meeting related to the homeless population in Story County that would show positive for COVID-19. And where would we place those individuals and how would we handle that situation? In a conversation, we talked about, I see this as an extension of the emergency residence program where public health would work with the ERP to manage these individuals. In looking at, we would need a place for them to be housed, and I was able to get a motel, the Microtel Inn and Suites. They would be willing to work with us in relationship to this. They have actually closed level 2 and level 3 of their motel and would be willing to allow us to use one of those levels. We know there's no smoking in the building, but they said we could have rooms that would be near one of the staircases that would lead outside. She thought the rate would be $60 since we're government-based, but possibly there'd be no taxes, and possibly that could get maybe lower. Each of the rooms then would have its own refrigerator and its own microwave, and of course then each of the rooms, again, would have their own bathroom. Each one would receive a free breakfast. They would prepackage and set it outside the door so that individuals could have breakfast. And so that would be an option to place these positive COVID patients. Currently, the shelter is closed, and those individuals have been placed, because of COVID, those homeless individuals have been placed in the Travel Lodge in Ames here, and then a couple other facilities that they house. So we were just thinking this may be a good option for those positive homeless COVID patients. And what we envision, if they become positive, then we are going to, as public health, if they're not sick enough to be in the hospital, then it'll be our responsibility to track those individuals down, hopefully via phone, and this is where we would work with ERP to help find those individuals and then help placing them in self-quarantine. Then we would continue with their health needs, and then the ERP could continue their program like they do as well. Of course, we would provide, if we are in a situation like that and we feel like there was any chance of anybody being in contact, direct contact with them, we would provide the PPE for those individuals as well. The funding then was discussed today, it would continue through the asset process.
Melissa, this is Lisa. I have a question with that paragraph. So it works as the first paragraph.
part of that paragraph says, those such do not have the resources to procure other living arrangements but are still required to self-isolate. So is it they're required or are they ordered to self-isolate?
They are required. At the very beginning of this COVID outbreak, we were issuing orders to quarantine from the Iowa Department of Public Health. But once this became a community spread pandemic, then we are not issuing those orders anymore. So as we visit with individuals, we then tell them that they're required to self-quarantine. And of course, then we touch base with those individuals every day. But there are no orders for them to be to stay home.
So this is Marvin. So at this point, we have no positives on the homeless people at this time. Is that correct?
That is correct. And the other, I guess, for me, I was looking, I have checked with Polk County, and, you know, they have quite a few more cases than us, and they do not have any positive homeless COVID patients either, you know, because they did put together a nice sheltering place out at the fairgrounds for those individuals, but at this point in time, it has not been used.
I think that's great that they haven't gotten that. That's really good.
Yeah.
This is Louisa. I have a question. So all of these people are being tested or only those that show symptoms?
The only people being tested with this population would be those people that would show symptoms. Those people would have to go to a provider, because the primary care provider has to issue that order for the test to occur. Now, they could go to primary health care. You know, if they were very ill, they could come to our emergency department to get that type of care.
Okay, one more comment.
Yeah.
Just as Louisa. But I've been reading in the medical literature that I'm following that many people are already spreading the virus 2 days before the symptoms show. How is that handled in a community like that?
Well, you are correct that possibly could be occurring, but at this point in time, when we get a positive COVID case, the people that we are investigating are the people that are in their household. Then beyond that, if they are in a nursing home or like a healthcare facility, a place like that, we ask that individual to contact their facility, and then we would follow up with that facility as well.
Okay.
So that is as far as we are directed by IDPH to complete our investigation.
Okay, this is John Passion. Louisa, you're bringing up the point that there is still not widespread testing yet, and I don't know when that's going to start happening. Wes, this sounds like a very good plan to me. I congratulate you on checking out those resources, and that sounds like you've got things, at least we got a good idea about if this happens, what we're going to do. Have you talked to people in group home situations about what they will do if one of their residents get it, like in Beloit or YSS?
What we have done in relationship to some of those group places, we have really been doing a lot of focusing on nursing homes because we know how devastating that can be to a nursing home. So we have been contacting them at least weekly to make sure that they have all the current information that's put out through IDPH and the CDC, also as long as they have enough PPE and those kinds of things for them. We have also reached out to Mosaic, I believe, and Optime to visit with them and provide them PPE as well and to review their processes with them. So I'm not sure, Dr. Passion, exactly YSS or Beloit.
The only reason it would just, I know you've got so many things you're doing right now, it would be nice at least to contact them to so they could think of a way what to have, what they'll do if one of their residents become positive, like where are they going to put them, stuff like that.
I agree. We will make that contact.
Yeah.
And this is Lisa. That would be similar with like Mainstream Living or Friendship Arc incorporated.
Yeah, we have been in contact with Friendship Arc, and we gave them PPE distribution and reviewed their plans with them as well. But I'm sorry, Lisa, who was the first one you mentioned?
I said Mainstream Living.
Mainstream Living. Okay, we will put them down as well.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Chip Bodie Stumble at Emergency Residence Project. I'm so happy to hear that Mike Rappel Inn is willing to work with us on that should anyone in the homeless population become ill. You had said Aspit will fund this. Have you gotten confirmation from them on that, or is that at this point an assumption that you're making?
So, Judge, we are just in the beginning of all of that. I had visited with somebody from Story County as well as the City of Ames, and we talked about them being the funder through this. But there will need to be, we're going to have some type of agreement with Microtel and those types of things. But at this point, it sounds like they will help fund this, but we need to... It's just the beginning of the process. I was just pleased that I was able to find someplace because not all motels were as pleasant in talking with them. So,
I am aware. Because I just wanted to double check because I know we have been in a real struggle to find any new funding from anyone to be able to keep our operations going in the motel. So I want to make sure that we know, we can get money for this as well. So that was why I asked the question.
Yeah, and I believe, Dodie, I think you're putting together some type of proposal for them as well. They had mentioned, so I think they're waiting for that too. And then there's also like the CARES program, and there's some different funding options out there. But anyway, this is just our, and we have more work to do.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and they have had a proposal from us for some time, and it does look like it may be just $3,000 that they're going to get to everyone, just as an FYI. So that was my question. Thank you, Les.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much. So let's get back to this conversation. So first of all, the first agenda item that you had, discussion and consideration of revisions to public health COVID medical surge plan. Since this is just a draft, do you need our approval or a motion that we approve these changes?
Dr. Passion, I don't believe that I necessarily do. I just wanted your input in relationship to that because I know that we work for the Board of Health.
Yep.
So I wanted you to be aware of this plan, and I wanted your input in relationship to that. But I'm not sure that we need a formal...
It doesn't sound like it to me. So, but thank you very much. That sounds like really good things. Now, you also have on the agenda discussion and consideration of responsibilities related to a medical overflow facility.
Yes, and that is something, too. I just wanted to bring it to the Board of Health attention, where we're at in the relationship to looking at a surge, if that should occur in Story County. I just want to reassure the board that we have visited both with Mary Greeley Medical Center as well as Story County Medical Center and reviewed their surge plans. Both of them have very nice plans in place. and could increase their capacity as they would need to. If it would occur that, for instance, Mary Greeley Medical Center would get beyond the capacity that they are intending for the surge, that we would need a low acuity hospital per se. We are working right now with the Regional Medical Coordination Center. The way I understand that request would come through Mary Greeley or maybe Story County Medical. It would come to public health. We would then assess that situation. We take it up through Story County Emergency Management, and then it goes to the Regional Medical Coordination Center. They would then come, I understand it's the Army Corps of Engineers, would come and determine where that would be placed. My question back to them that we have not heard back yet is, number one, under whose license does that type of medical facility function? Number two, is who's responsible for the staffing? Is that Mary Greeley or would be Story, you know, County Medical Center? I'm not sure about that. And then, of course, supplies and funding. So I just wanted you guys to be aware that we're seeking out those resources. Keith Morgan has been helping me in relationship to that. So we're just trying to get those types of questions answered in preparing for a search.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Excuse me, can I ask a question here before we get off this topic completely? This is Terry Potter from Amos.
Yeah.
So I understand the plans for people in the homeless population who have been, you know, if they test for COVID-19 positive and the potential plans for finding shelter for them. But in the broader sense, can you describe what the Board of Health or the Board of Supervisors is considering in relation to COVID-19 for the homeless population in general?
Specifically?
Well, you know, for example, you know, I mean, there's also, for people who have home television sets and radio sets and whatever, they can rely on a basis, you know, daily basis to find out what's going on. How is the homeless population finding out what's going on? Is there any plan in place to make sure that the homeless don't get left behind in all of this beyond what you're trying to do for people that might be tested positive?
Sure. I visited actually with Jody today, who is the director of the ERP, and she mm-hmm. shared with us that she has actually put packets together for the homeless. With that is education related to it, how they can manage it, those types of things. So I think she's done a nice job of providing that education and continues to do that as they reach out to them on a daily basis about those kinds of things.
Very good. Thank you for that question. Okay. All right. And as long as we're on this, any other questions before we go into Les White and asking for the grant application for the local public health service? Any other questions at all about this issue?
Yeah, this is Ethan. I have a question on Section 3, the authorities for this. I just want to know what discussions have taken place regarding where and how this agreement will be put into place. Is it through mutual aid agreements? Is it through memorandums of understanding? What is, I'm just not sure. I guess my question then would be to clarify that Keith and Les have been going through and running this through some legal authority or legal review. That's my question.
Les, I'm gonna have to give that one to you.
Yes, and I will, I'm not sure if Keith Morgan is on the call.
I'm here.
Keith, can you help me answer that?
Those outlined the authorities as we had the discussions before this meeting here. It was highlighted that that is really, as the incident commander and the parties that you're working with within the jurisdictions, will have to identify how you do want to formalize any arrangements for the people for at least for paragraph 12.
Does that help, Ethan?
Well, the concern is, I mean, just reviewing some of these administrative code sections under authorities 3B, that's a very general statement under 77.3 of the admin code. And then reading some of the admin code under 605 under 3C, 605.7.3, I'm just questioning how this all comes together. And that's my concern, and what discussions are taking place, maybe the party that it's taking place with, who's seen it with Mary Greeley, who's seen it with Story County Medical, who's looked it over with local law enforcement, who's looked it over with the medical examiner. Those are my questions. I don't know how wide the circulation of this document has been, and what kind of vetting it's gone through.
So
this is the start.
Okay, this.
Yes, go ahead.
I'll speak. Keith Morgan is the emergency manager. I took on the role as the planning officer for the incident command structure that is Les White under the Board of Health. I have provided this document to her, and it is up to the incident command to decide who they need, who she feels needs to have this circulated amongst, and at what level does it need to be approved.
Okay.
So this is the start, and our plan wanted to bring it to the board for their input, and then we can move forward and share it with we share it with the medical as well as EMS, so the other individuals.
So Les, this is Lisa. So is your thought to just have the draft of this right now, and then after receiving input and potential changes, then bringing it back before the Board of Health?
Yes, that would be my plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
To do that, you will need another special meeting, which I expect that we'll need to be doing a lot of those. So we'll just have to be in contact, maybe you and I, when this draft is formalized and you've figured all this out, and then we can call a meeting to go over it and approve it. Correct?
Okay, that's very fine.
Okay, thank you. Okay. All right, any other questions about this stuff, this coronavirus stuff? Okay, all right, so I'd like to move on. We still have a couple more things before we get to the agency and departmental reports. So I'd like to move on to the local public health services fiscal year 21 application. And Les White gave us a document that looked at that. And do you have anything you wish to bring our attention to, Les?
No, this is just pretty standard procedure.
Okay.
Nothing at this point with any difference than previous years.
Okay. Any questions from the Board of Health members about that? Okay, I'd like to move on. I'd like to get an approval for the grant application, and I need a motion to approve first.
So moved, Molly.
Okay, second.
Second.
Mark, second.
Okay, Louisa got in there before you, Mark. Any further discussion? Okay, any further discussion? Nope. Okay, all those in favor, Louisa?
Aye.
Molly?
Aye.
John Kluge?
Aye.
Mark?
Aye.
John Passion? Aye. Okay,
We have two additional items that were added on to our agenda, and excuse me while I pull them up on my computer here. Okay, and this will be, Keith Morgan will be talking about these. The first one is the Story County Declaration of Public Health Disaster Emergency.
Okay, Ethan and I had some discussions on this, and a little bit of the background on this is what generated it is a fact sheet that has come from FEMA on public assistance for non-congregate sheltering delegations of authorities. Now, the process outlined the need for a direction to be able to qualify for this. And what this is there is a public assistance grant that runs through FEMA, through the state, and on down to jurisdictions that are impacted by the disaster. And this one happens to be the COVID-19 disaster. One category of reimbursement for expenses is category B, which is those that are taken in essentially an emergency situation. And as a part of that, the fact sheet comes from FEMA that says to be enabled to be eligible for this reimbursement, which usually runs 75% reimbursement for qualified expenses of the, that reimbursement comes from the federal side, 10% comes from the state, and then the remaining 15% comes from the local. We were looking through the guidance, and one of the aspects is it has to be under the direction or guidance of state, local, tribal, territorial, or public health officials may be reimbursed. Now, in our conversations with Homeland Security, and Ethan, this is a little bit of a change, we have not been able to get Homeland Security to positively identify as to whether the state level proclamation qualifies as that public health officials proclamation. What they did send us is a package that is being circulated by Johnson County on up to them that included a local emergency proclamation on it. So that's what spurred us to do this. Now, what we are doing is trying to provide an opportunity for all of the different, for public health to be able to ensure as much as possible their ability to recoup any costs through this grant program. Is not anything that we are required to continue our operations, but we were going to take this proclamation along with the other package that has to be put together and send it on up. Now, this was at a time when we were trying to determine who was going to have responsibility for any patient or not patients, anybody that was COVID-19 positive or possibly for actions taken for the homeless. Now, the discussions that have occurred prior to this in the meeting that we had indicates that the jurisdictions may be going a different route as opposed to this. So at this time, we won't need to make the package, and therefore we wouldn't need to do this proclamation. But another opportunity or another way of doing this would be to put together the package without a local declaration, send it on up and see whether the state would pass it on up through. We do not directly apply for this. It has to go through the state. It has to be approved by the state to move under FEMA Region 7. Additionally, it has to be done as a package beforehand to get approval for any expenses. So that's why we came with this, knowing that this meeting was coming up. We put together, essentially copying proclamation over in Johnson County, although we did change it to be from the Board of Health. Theirs was from Emergency Management, which we are not a public health entity, so we felt that it was prudent to switch it over to that. So again, what we're trying to do is give the Board of Health options or the capability to exercise options to get reimbursement through FEMA.
Okay. That makes sense to me. Okay? All right. So you need our approval of this, and then I'm going to have to find a way to sign it.
If I may, Dr. Passion, I would recommend tabling this or putting this off to the side. I'm not sure it's entirely, with all due respect to colleagues in Johnson County, I'm not sure we can do this. And again, I wanted to double check with the Attorney General's office. It's been my understanding that Governor Reynolds' March 9 emergency disaster relief basically precludes the Board of Health from doing this. It closed the door. That's the understanding we get from Heather Adams at the AG's office. So I don't see that we actually have the authority for this. And again, my conversation with Keith this morning was, what is the problem we're trying to solve with this? How time sensitive is it? If it's driven by a fact sheet that acknowledges state entities as the ones that can apply for this relief, we do have a state proclamation that should suffice. And Keith said just a few moments ago that he's waiting on confirmation of whether or not that's good enough. I don't see the need at this point for this declaration, nor do I see the authority to make this declaration. So that's my concern. I recommend, since there's no time constraint on this, that this is purpose is to generate a paper trail in order to allow the county to request reimbursement of those medical expenses, that this can wait and make sure we do it right and we have the proper authority to do it. That's my concern.
Okay.
The only thing I would throw in is that, and especially if he has gotten an AG's opinion that the state level one suffices, if the board wants to even continue forward with this, because again, what we were trying to do is ensure that even for the sheltering that is being done for the non-COVID patient, non-positive people, that if we made the trace back to the need to shelter people outside of the shelter was driven by a medical need, then we felt that trace came back to a need to submit this. And to get those costs identified as being covered by this, this is the process that they are going through. But I leave it up to the board. Again, multiple options now. We can submit it and just put it there, submit it with the state proclamation, especially if I can have something from county attorney that says, that has looked at this on behalf of the Board of Health, that says it is a AG's opinion is that it covers it. So we'll just put that as documentation, and we can send it on up to the state. There's more paperwork that has to go along with it, so I am looking to the Board of Health to see if they even want to pursue getting this documentation in and getting things set up for cost of non-congregate sheltering to be included.
Okay. It sounds to me, I think, Keith, I think I understand what you're talking about. I think I would like to table this. We're going to probably have another meeting within about another week. As stuff comes down the line, I think if the other Board of Health members have no objections, I think I'd like to take Ethan's recommendation that we put this on hold right now.
This is Louisa.
This is Mark.
I agree and move that we table it to next week.
Okay. All right. Well, or to our next meeting.
To our next meeting.
Okay. All right. sounds good. All right, okay, any further discussion?
Yeah, okay, just throw in then we will
please.
We will hold on about putting in any application until we're direct or until we get notification from the board that they would like to restart this process to set ourselves up for this FEMA reimbursement.
Got it. Okay, understandable. Okay, all right, any other comments? Okay, call for a vote. Louisa?
Aye.
Molly?
Aye.
John Kluge?
Aye.
Mark?
Aye.
John Passion? Aye. Okay, all right, so another, but the agenda to the meeting that's not even called yet is already getting higher, is already getting more. Okay, so Keith, that other piece of information is mostly a fact sheet about public assistance, non-congregate sheltering, delegation of authority, correct?
Yes, and that goes back to the proclamation. That
got it.
We brought forward that proclamation by that part that it says that it has to be the direction or guidance of a public health entity.
Very good. Okay, great. Thank you very much. Okay, so now we're going to move on to agency and departmental reports. So, Story County Public Health, who wants to talk to us?
Hi, I will. I'm Teresa Ferrari, Story County Public Health. So, yeah, I'm just going to report that it looks like it's been since July this report is we've had 15 COVID cases. But since this COVID thing started, we've had 6 positive cases, the last one being yesterday. So we have 4 now that I'm talking to every day. 2 of them have been released from our calling them on a daily basis, and only one of them has been hospitalized. So that's kind of where I'm at with that.
Okay. Now, Teresa, none of these COVID patients, none of them have been ventilated or anything like that?
Correct. Only one was hospitalized, and she didn't even require any oxygen. But she's still in the hospital.
So they're watching her. Got it. Thank you.
And then we've had 1 active TB case on top of all this, who's doing fine, but we have to give her medications. We're kind of on hold right now to develop rest. We just started this last week, and she's being followed with Dr. Fulton. And she developed a rash shortly after starting the medication, so we're on hold and we're looking at restarting tomorrow, probably 1 medication at a time. Because, I mean, they take like about 6 different medications, so it's a lot.
Yeah.
So we're doing that for someone here in Nassau County. Okay. And they have 2 little kids, and they both tested negative. We had them, they were 5 and 8, and we tested them with quantiferin gold, and they were both negative, so that was good.
This is, I hate to make this meeting go on any longer, but I got to ask you this question. Has there been a movement in public health to stop the PPD test and just do the quantiferin gold?
No, not really, no. Mm-mm. I mean, we're careful about, like, they are from Thailand, so, of course, we didn't. I mean, because being 5 and 8, we could have did the PPD test on them, but being from Thailand, we didn't. They would have had the BCG. It would have been a false positive, so we did that. But no, there really isn't a movement for that.
No, because it's shown up in our literature. Just good question.
Yeah, and I know Mary Greeley went through it, right? They just do quantiferin gold with their employees. Mary Greeley just started doing that because
yeah.
It's just easier than
right.
Following up and stuff, yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, all right, so anything else? You need to
This is Les, the director of Story County Public Health. You did have another document in there. It was from the Bureau of Public Health Performance. I just wanted to let you know in relationship to how our services have changed related to COVID-19. For those individuals that are provided personal care as well as homemaker services, those involved environmental homemaker services, we have really thought out if they have other folks in the community that can help them with those tasks. And if they have them, we have discharged them.
We do have a number of individuals, though, that don't have any support from the community, and so we continue to reach out to them and provide services to them. We do evaluate those services, though, and if it's something where we can decrease the visits that we're making with these individuals in the community, we do that. So once this epidemic is over, those individuals that we have discharged, we will reach back out to them and make sure that, you know, they can have our services again. But I just wanted to assure you that all of our clients are well cared for. If it's not by us, we verify that they do have family members that can manage them.
Okay, very good. Okay, thank you very much. Anything else at all?
No.
From our Story County Public Health.
No questions?
Any questions at all from the audience for our Story County Public Health?
This is Mark. I have a question for either Les or Teresa. Of these six cases, and maybe let's say this last one, had they, any of them, been in contact with each other, or did it come from an outside source?
This last case, she has absolutely no idea where she would have gotten it. She said that she hadn't even really been anywhere. She was working from home, and she hadn't really been much. I mean, to the grocery store. And
how about the others?
Well, the very first one, which, I don't know how long ago, he had been to Chicago, like a few days prior to becoming sick. Then the last couple that we had, they actually are in the same household, and they had their brother-in-law, or his brother, her brother-in-law, visit from California, and he had kind of had some cold symptoms. See, she looking back, she's like, should never have let him stay with us, but she did. And sure enough, he ended up positive. They ended up positive, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's very, I'm glad that he explained that, because I'm hoping they weren't getting it from within the community here. And they came from outside
right.
Sources.
So the last one, I was kind of like concerned.
Yeah, the last one we don't know about, but.
Okay, very good. Okay, great. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Okay, Denise Denton, YSS.
I have to get myself off mute.
Yeah.
Most people complain when I'm on mute, but this wouldn't work very well if I continued to do that. So good afternoon, everyone. You know, I keep thinking, with this pandemic, I keep thinking about how it's really sort of taken over all of our lives, but the bad news is that drugs don't actually take a vacation just because somebody else has moved to the front of the line. And I'm also reminded, I'm doing classes online now with Iowa State students. There's a little something I never, ever, ever wanted to do. And I'm surprised you didn't all hear the screening during spring break when I was learning how to do that. But it's working out well in terms of I am still able to speak to other classes other than my own. And this morning I spoke to a group of would-be coaches and reminded them that, you know, every single year in this country we lose about 100,000 people to alcohol-related deaths. And some of those are secondhand, you know, 50,000 of those basically are, some of those are drunk driving, so that's sort of a contagion in and of itself. We lose about 72,000 people over the last few years to opioid-related. We lose 480,000 every year just to tobacco-related illnesses, and 50,000 of those, that's where I was going with that, are from secondhand smoke. So, again, that's sort of a contagion thing. But this, of course, has really jumped to the front of the line, and so I want to tell you some good news, bad news. About that, keeping in mind that even though we are not, the building is not open, our staff is still working with schools and with different youth groups around this and using things like telehealth and Zoom and WebEx to try and still provide some of the services that we have agreed to do through the end of the school year taking on a whole new meaning. So the good news with the alcohol, let's go through some of these, is that the bars are closed, so that has cut down somewhat on drinking. So we hope that some of the things that go with that have gone down as well. But
sort of that's the good news. The bad news is I've read several articles about the fear that people will start going through detox because they can't get a hold of alcohol, and that would be a bad thing because that can be very dangerous. The good news, I guess, is that you can now get cocktails to go in Des Moines. So that should help with that. And in Texas, right before this got very ugly, they quickly passed a state law that said you can have alcohol delivered to your home. So they're getting around that detox situation with that. So I guess that's good news. I don't know. We have good news actually concerning e-cigarettes in that there's some research now that says that they can be used as a safe, it can be a successful cessation tool if, in fact, the person quits using the e-cig immediately after they have stopped actually stopping smoking of conventional cigarettes. The problem is that is not what's happening with most places, but there is sort of a light if people follow the rules on that. Concerning marijuana, the good news is, no, the bad news is, I'm not sure. It's the same news. There's some research that has come out recently that reinforces other research that says that pain relief is not better because you raise the level of THC. But the people who are using it actually don't care about that very much. They report that that doesn't make any difference to them. The good news, I guess, is with the legislature out for the rest of the season, they cannot raise the level of THC, which actually doesn't do any good in the first place. So then the bad news overall, we'll make this brief, is the article that I sent you that talks about isolation as a trigger for relapse. You know, people in recovery are more likely to do well if they get the support to do so. And they do that through a lot of different recovery communities. With the stay-at-home orders in a lot of places and, you know, the necessary not gathering, those people are more isolated that way, and that can very well be a trigger for relapse. It also tends to be, isolation tends to be more of a trigger for domestic abuse as well and anxiety for those people who already have those issues. So there really is sort of no good news about the pandemic as far as I can see, but it's brought about some interesting dichotomies in sort of the good news, bad news department as far as I'm concerned. I can't help but see the irony in some of this, but it is a real concern about those people who have been doing well with recovery because they are getting that personal attention in that community and they're able to go to meetings and they are unable to do that now. So, I will be interested, and I am concerned about what we see in a spike of relapse for a lot of different people in all of those drug areas, in all of those issues. So that is really all I have.
Any questions at all? Okay, Denise, thank you very much. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, Margaret James.
Hi, this is Margaret James, Environmental Health Department Director. So I usually do PowerPoint. This time I submitted a written report, so I assume that you all can just read that on your own. Right now all staff is working from home with some field work with social distancing. And I would like to say hats off to Stephanie for doing such a great job scheduling all these meetings, taking the minutes, and just keeping everybody informed and on top of things. It's been a huge job for her. And then on top of that, she also does this for another department, the planning and development folks. So that's all I have in the interest of time. And if you have questions, just ask me now, or you can email me if you want.
All right, great. Thank you very much. Any questions for Margaret? Okay. Thank you very much. Is there?
Thank you.
So we're coming to the end of our meeting. At this time, any comments from our staff? Anyone who wants to say anything? Okay. Comments from the board, Louisa?
No, I don't.
Okay. Molly?
None for me. Thank you.
John Kluge?
No, thank you.
Mark Speck?
I have nothing.
Okay, and John Passion, I just want to thank everyone for all their extra work, their expertise. I know this is a hard time. It hasn't even hit us yet, this coronavirus, but it's like anxiety, and it seems like the hardest part of this. But I think everyone's doing an exceptional job. Everyone is kind of coming to the plate and doing what they need to do, and I personally appreciate it. Okay, with that, I'd like to call this meeting adjourned. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Okay, that's it. We're done.
Hey, Dr. Ashton, can you stay on, please?
Yes.
And the person that was going to exchange contact information, are you still on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Okay, for Dr. Ashton,
yes.
How do you want to sign the minutes to get them to me?
What would you suggest? Do you want me to run by sometime?
Okay.
I was just going to say, you could either do that, or if you have a way to print it out and sign it and then scan it back to me by email, then work.
I think I could have someone do that.
And really, all you have to print is just the last page and sign it.
Okay.
And if it doesn't work, you know how to contact me.
Okay.
And then the other question is.
And then Stephanie, I will probably, I don't know where I'm going to be, what I'm going to be doing over the next few days. So hopefully I'll be able to get it done by tomorrow. If not, it'll be certainly by Friday.
That's fine.
Okay.
And then the other question is the item for the press release. You'll need to sign that as well.
Okay.
Oh, wait. No, there's not a signature on that, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. But I need to place that on an item on the Board of Supervisors agenda. So somebody might need to be available to call in for that meeting in case they have any questions. So that somebody might need.
Yeah, I would be more than happy to call in for that.
Okay. So I'll get you the contact information, the phone number to call in.
Okay.
I think that's it. Just let me know when the next.
And you'll let me know when the next Board of Supervisors meeting is, correct?
Yes. They're every Tuesday at 10 a.m. So,
okay. Oh, next week?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm assuming as long as Molly gets the corrections made to that, and I'll reach out to Molly. But
okay.
I just need the correction so that I can submit the final to Leanne. Well,
okay.
I guess that would be after the Board of Supervisors.
Right. Now I will be working that day, next Tuesday. But I certainly can always answer in between patients I could answer a question.
Okay.
Okay. So what I would recommend is if you needed me to call in, to text me, and then I would then call in.
Okay. And maybe Lisa would just be able to speak on behalf of the board. Maybe that would be easier.
Yeah, if she wishes to. But if they have questions for me, I'd be more than happy to.
Okay.
And really, it's okay. The thing is, I just can't.
Right.
At that time, I cannot say that I can be on and listen to the meeting for an hour.
Right, and I don't know where you'd be on the agenda, so.
Right, so it'd be best to kind of text me. They want to talk to you, and then I will say I can talk to you at 10:30.
Okay, I'll talk to Lisa about that also, and I will provide you the call in just in case.
That's how they do it on trials, by the way.
Is it?
When I'm a witness on a trial, they just say, we'll want you available at a certain period of time, and then they call me, and they stop everything, because especially if it's a short-term thing, and then when I'm able to answer be a witness, I call in, and then they kind of stop what they're doing and do what I need to do, and then they get rid of me, and then they go on with what they're doing.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, that's, you know, when they're nice. Those lawyers.